The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. It's on page 119 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. Amen. There's a poem titled "The Beautiful Return" by the poet Gwangyugong. For a plane that was flying far away to suddenly land for an emergency, it has to let go of all the jet fuel to lighten the weight and return to where it departed from. For a safe landing, it has to deviate from the normal flight path and discard all of the expensive fuel into the sea to return. Sometimes people do so as well. One has to suddenly empty oneself and return to the place one started from. Last July 8th, an American 8-year-old girl and her mother took an Asiana airline plane from New York to Incheon. After 1 hour and 30 minutes since the departure, the girl suffered from high fever and a bad stomach ache. As the flight attendants took emergency procedures, they made an in-flight announcement to ask if a doctor was on board. The doctor that was on board offered that the girl needed medical care and medication as soon as possible. Once the captain heard about the situation, he immediately decided to return. But since an airplane is not like a car, it is not easy to return. When the plane lands, the shock it receives as it hits the runway is almost 100 tons. For safety of those on the aircraft, the weight needs to be as light as possible, and all airplanes have to abide by this weight limit. The airplane that travels from Incheon to New York is the biggest airplane currently, the Model A380 from Airbus, a plane with two floors, and it can seat more than 800 people. So, to reduce the weight of such a big airplane, much jet fuel had to be discarded. And at the time, the plane had already entered the polar route, so there were not many airports nearby. Fortunately, an airport in Anchorage, about 1,930 kilometers away, replied that the plane could land. To meet the weight limit, about 9 tons of jet fuel were discarded, equivalent to 17 million won. After the plane refueled, it took off and landed at the international airport 4 hours later than the scheduled time. The airline company would have had to pay additional costs for landing and departing at a different airport. Not only is the captain that decided to return or the airline company that willingly bear the cost noteworthy, but there were 470 passengers on board in that plane. But no one was against the idea or complained about the return. When the captain decided to return and about 200 passengers, which is half of those on board, argued that they should keep going instead, then the captain must have been really troubled. If 40 passengers, about 10% of those on board, said that they have to go to the airport on time because their own reasons, then flight attendants would have had to spend great efforts to convince them, and the girl could have been in real danger while waiting. When the plane landed at the Incheon airport, and the captain made an announcement saying that he was sorry for the late arrival, most of the passengers responded with a big applause. The reason why these passengers did not make their own argument is because a person's life is more precious than anything else in the world. A person's life is more important than 17 million won or a little discomfort that we may have to face. In today's scripture, there is a story about people who needed to return back to the heart they had at first with the words of God, so that they can regard people's lives with dignity and turn away from traditions of their ancestors and wrongful value system. Today's scripture begins like this. One Sabbath. Today's scripture occurred on the Sabbath. In the Gospel of Luke, there are three instances of arguments about the Sabbath. And today's scripture is about the last instance. In chapter 6, as Jesus and the crew passed by the fields of grain, the disciples ate some heads of grain on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees accused them of doing something they were forbidden to do on the Sabbath. There were 39 categories of work not to do on the Sabbath, and 234 subactivities in detail. Although disciples eating some grain may seem menial, it was not for the Pharisees. The disciples' act of taking off the grain with their hands was an act of harvest, which was not allowed on the Sabbath. The act of rubbing the grain with hands was an act of threshing, which was also not allowed on the Sabbath. Moreover, taking off the cover of the grain was considered winnowing, also not allowed on the Sabbath. That's not all. Eating such grain was considered to be cooking. Even cooking was against the law of the Sabbath. So the Pharisees accused the disciples of not keeping four rules on the Sabbath. Also in chapter 13, Jesus healed a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, unable to sleep with her back on the floor. Once again, Jesus was accused of healing, which was not allowed on the Sabbath. And the next part to the story is told in today's scripture. It is important to understand correctly why God tells his people to keep the Sabbath. Let's try to go over why. Ten Commandments are the first time we learn about the law on Sabbath. As we well know, the fourth commandment is about the Sabbath. God tells us why we are to keep it. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God tells us that he gave us the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, because even God rested on the seventh day after making the world in 6 days. But this does not mean that a person is to work and rest in 6-to-1 ratio. God made light on the first day and the vacuum in the second, and he went on the third and fourth day and made people on the sixth day and rested on the seventh day. The number 7 represents completeness, indicating God's creation was complete. So not working and resting on the Sabbath was partaking in the word that God's creation is complete. But working on Sabbath was the same as saying that God's creation is imperfect and incomplete, so work was forbidden. In the New Testament, the day Jesus resurrected is referred to as the first day after the Sabbath, the eighth day, different from previous days. So this day is also called the Lord's Day. 2 years ago, one mobile phone company made its eighth product and used the phrase completion, yet a new start, as its marketing campaign. When I heard the line, I wondered maybe the marketing person is a Christian. Completion, yet a new start, is a great way to represent the Lord's Day. The Ten Commandments are not only in Exodus chapter 20, but also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here it is explained why the Sabbath must be kept. Verses 12 to verse 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. While it is given that the Sabbath must be kept in Deuteronomy, the reason why it must be kept is a little bit different from Exodus. While the reason for keeping the Sabbath in Exodus was related to the creation, the reason for keeping the Sabbath in Deuteronomy was related to the Exodus. God explains, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." God's explanations on keeping the Sabbath in Exodus and in Deuteronomy could be summarized like the following. God said that it is good after the creation. There was nothing else to add, so he rested. This is the first meaning of the Sabbath. What was left to do was for people to properly and completely enjoy what God had created. But unfortunately, men sinned and became imperfect. So God's work did not end with the creation, and God began a ministry of recreation to save us. So the day that was remembered as the completion of God's creation also became a day to remember God's newly created history, the ministry to save lives. This new history will be completed when our Lord returns. So we have to live lives of faith with the concept of Sabbath in Exodus, our current Sunday, and the Sabbath in Deuteronomy. The Sunday of Exodus indicates that the Sunday is set apart by foregoing something. The Sunday of Deuteronomy is partaking in the history of God by devoting yourselves to the work of saving lives. When I went to graduate school of theology, I lived in the dormitory for 3 years. In the basement of the dormitory, there was a cafeteria. In the later years, a company operated the cafeteria, but at the time, the school club was in charge. There was a little store that also sold hot foods such as ramyun, kimbap, and stir-fried spicy rice cake in the corner. The store was open from Monday to Saturday and closed on Sundays. The store abided by the Sabbath of Exodus. It's like saying we work hard from Monday to Saturday, but since Sunday is for serving the Lord, we are closed. The cafeteria was also open from Monday to Saturday, but also closed on Sundays. Then a couple of hundreds of students living in the dormitory had to go to church on Sundays with an empty stomach. So the cafeteria was open for Sunday mornings without a fee. When I first entered the school, I had breakfast on Sundays, but could not once I started serving the high school ministry, which began early in the morning. So I remember how touched I was to eat breakfast whenever I had the time. The cafeteria abided by the Sabbath of Deuteronomy. Our life of faith can be similar. When we forego things what other people do, we can demonstrate that we are children of God. Moreover, if we do things that are without economic benefit but save others, we can show that we are children of God. These two aspects indicate that we are becoming true Christians. Let's look at verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Jesus was invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee. The word prominent indicates that he had high social status. The Pharisee who invited Jesus could have been the eldest or the one with the most influence, and his house also could have served as the synagogue. Jewish people have the custom of inviting others on the Sabbath. No matter how poor one may be, rabbis taught them to invite guests on the Sabbath, and it had become a religious obligation. So when they saw a nicely made table, they used the expression, It's like the Sabbath. It is similar to our Korean expression, it is like the Thanksgiving Day, the Chuseok Day, when we have prepared much in abundance. But the food itself had to be prepared a day prior. At such table, there were people looking out to accuse Jesus. Let's look at verse 2. There, in front of him, was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. The abnormal swelling here was caused by having too much fluid accumulating in one's organs. Because there was fluid in one's organs, the body starts to stiffen, and the patient suffering from such phenomena starts to experience swelling of the body and unquenched thirst. Today's scripture does not explain how such a person was invited to the meal. It is not possible to know whether he was a guest or uninvited, or whether he was brought by the Pharisees to test Jesus, or whether he came to ask Jesus for healing. The Bible only records how Jesus and the Pharisees responded to him. Jesus, although people did not ask, knew their hearts and replied in verse 3. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" At the time, people thought diseases were God's judgment, outcomes of sin, or failure to abide by the law. In the old Jewish texts, it is recorded about this disease. The half of the fluid in a person's body is water, and the other half is blood. If a person lives a life approved by God, the water in the body is less than the blood, nor there will there be much blood compared to water. But if a person sins, then there will be too much blood or too much water. If there is much more blood than water, then he will suffer from leprosy. And if there is more blood than water, then he will suffer from abnormal swelling. At the time, experts of the law nor the Pharisees' customs allow healing on the Sabbath. It was okay to stop the disease from worsening, but not curing them, because curing was beyond the scope of what could be done by the law of the Sabbath. To Jesus' question, people responded as the following. Verse 4. But they remained silent. They did not respond in any way. Rather, they couldn't. Agreeing to healing on the Sabbath was against their teachings. But disagreement that as people of God, they are indifferent to recovering a person's life, so they didn't know how to respond. These experts of the law and the Pharisees were holding on to the Sabbath of Exodus, thinking that there was all there is to the concept of Sabbath among two concepts, the Sabbath of Exodus and the Sabbath of Deuteronomy. Likewise, compared to not knowing Bible at all, it may be more violent to live by the parts of the Bible that I like and hold on to instead of the entire Bible and argue that those parts you like are everything and is the truth. So when we read the word, we need to have an eye to know the width of the word through the Bible in its entirety, and the depth of the Bible through our understanding of the specific scriptures. By doing so, we can become Christians who are built together in the Lord and become channels to save lives as hands and feet of the Lord. Since people did not respond, Jesus did the following in verses 4 and 5. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? Jesus healed the man and sent him away to prevent the atmosphere from becoming too aggravated and for the men to not feel uncomfortable by being there at the dinner. Saving an animal or a person that falls into a well on the Sabbath day was considered to be an exception to the regulation. Thus, Jesus saw this person like the person that fell into a well. If one falls into a well, he is threatened for his life, although he is surrounded by water, which signifies life. Likewise, because he was threatened for his life due to water in his body, Jesus had saved him. What an analogy! Jesus gave the well as an example because his condition was caused by having too much fluid in his body. People responded to Jesus in the following way. Verse 6, and they had nothing to say. To be more accurate, they did not have the capacity to respond. The experts of the law and the Pharisees thought that the man is a sinner and was doomed by God, so suffering or dying from pain would be acceptable. Thus, they had forgotten him in their hearts. But not Jesus. We can also think like the experts of the law and the Pharisees. That person is now over, or that person is hopeless, and we can try to erase that person or forget about that person. But we do not have the right to overlook someone because the God we believe does not erase people. God does not overlook people who rebel against God and even ignore God. He also does not overlook people that seem small and insignificant. He remembers those people even clearly and places them on his hands. If God overlooks people, wouldn't we be the first to be forgotten by God? In the beginning of the year, a video clip gained attention and was shown in the news. A 50-year-old man was drunk in the subway station, and two policemen tried to get a hold of him. The police told him, "You can be punished for obstruction of justice." And the man screamed that they should be recording what's happening. Then, a young man sitting on the bench stood up and reached out to the man and hugged him and said, "Please stop." The old man quickly calmed down and looked down. if a person does not erase another and hug him, this is what happens. The experts of the law and Pharisees did not try to forget the person with swollen disease. They will have become a model of faithful people of God even to this day, 2,000 years later. The prophet Jonah thought people of Nineveh are evil and deserve to perish, so he erased them from his heart. To Jonah, God gave him a leafy plant to rest in the shade and dried it up the next day. Jonah complained that it was too hot. Then God told Jonah, but in Jonah chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? At this hour, the Lord tells us, do you accept that giving life to others is my will? Is your life acceptable in my eyes? Are you forgetting anyone you should be welcoming? To this question, we need to answer with our voices and our lives. May this week be time to be built together in the Lord by responding properly to these questions. Let's pray. Father God, through today's scripture, thank you for once again helping us to realize that even as we think we are serving the Lord, it could be totally against the will of God, and that we could mistakenly think that the part of the truth we are holding on to is the entire truth. The experts of the law and the Pharisees were set apart for the law of God and lived to know the law and abide by the law, as others could also testify, but they failed to think about why God gave them those laws and God's heart embedded in the law. Thus, while abiding by the law, they rather neglected the truth. As we live by faith, may our passion and dedication not lead to judging others, and instead to places to serve others. No matter how small and insignificant we may seem, or no matter how amazing we consider ourselves to be, may we become more like you, who does not erase us or forget us, and instead waits for us. And so may our lives always return to the essence of the Word of God, so that through our lives, your will be done. And as each and every one of us are built together in the Lord, may we become true Christians. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.